Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Lamed Daled. Says the Mishnah, Ha'omer Yivaruchucha Toivim, one who declares that only Toivim, only good people, only Tzadikim should be Mevaruch Yu Hashem, should bless you. Hareze Darchei Minus. This is the way of Minus, of heresy. Why? Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. The Minim believed that anything wicked, Rishayim, they are in their own realm. They are a separate entity. They're not meant to be connected to Hashem. And that is very wrong, since we know that Kol Ma Shebara Kadosh Baruch, whatever Hashem created, Lo Yibara Elo L'Chvoidoi, that is part of the master plan. Everything is meant to lead this world to its ultimate perfection, to Shleimus Hamiti. Even wickedness is meant to be there to challenge us, to give us a fight in our ascent into spirituality, into Avodas Hashem. And therefore, everything ultimately has a place in this world and is meant to be connected to Hashem. Continues the Mishnah, Oyvel Fnei Ateva, one who is a chazan v'ta, and he makes a mistake, and he can't seem to regain his footing. Yavar achar tachtav, they should appoint a replacement. V'lo yisavrim bo yisashah, he shouldn't refuse at that moment. We know that ordinarily when one is asked to be a shliach tzibur, he's meant to show some degree of refusal to demonstrate his unworthiness for the post. But here, in our case, one is meant to go up immediately. Don't refuse. Don't prolong the interruption, the hefsek, unnecessarily. Where is the second chazan meant to pick up from? Mitchilas habracha shtatazeh, from the beginning of the blessing of the bracha, where the first one made a mistake. If he skipped a bracha, the second one was meant to go back to that bracha. If he made a mistake within the words of a bracha, the second chazan should begin from the beginning of that bracha. Continues the Mishnah, Oyvel Fnei Ateva, one who is a chazan, Lo Yana Amen Achar Kehanim. He should not respond with Amen to Birchas Kehanim. Why? Mipnei HaTeirah, for concern that this will confuse him. And since the chazan, the Shliach Tzibur, is meant to dictate to the Kehanim the words of Brachas Kehanim, we're concerned that if he responds to the Bracha with Amen, that will confuse him and he won't have the ability to have the clarity to continue dictating the words properly to the Kehanim. Continues the Mishavim, Ein Shom Kohen Elohu. If he's the only Kohen, if the Shliach Tzibur is the only Kohen there, Lo Yises Kavav, he may not raise his hands and recite Brachas Kehanim. Why? Explains Rashi. Since we're concerned that his mind will become confused, me'emas ha'tzibur, on account of the awe of the tzibur, he'll get flustered when he sees the congregation in front of him, and he won't have the ability to resume his tefillah properly, to go back to Sim Shalom immediately following Birchas Kohanim, so he cannot recite Birchas Kohanim. However, concludes the Mishnah, v'imavtachasai, but if he's confident, shu'noisei eskavav, that he has the ability to recite Birchas Kohanim, v'choizes filosai, then immediately go back to his tefillah properly, Rashai, indeed, he's allowed to do so. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a Brisa. Ha'oyver from the Ateva, one who is appointed to be a Shliach Tzibur, Tzarech L'Sarif, he should refuse initially, he should refuse the post. But if he doesn't do so, Doim L'Tavshel Shein Boi Melach, he's compared to a dish with no salt, he's tasteless. V'Mesarev Yosef Medai, but if he overdoes the refusal process, he's similar to a dish which is oversalted. One is meant to find the right balance, to hesitate a bit, but not too much. How should one conduct himself? The first time he is asked, he's sorry if he should refuse. But if they come back to him again, if he begins stirring, showing that he's willing somewhat to go b'shliach tzibur. They ask him a third time, he stretches his feet and he goes and he serves as a shliach tzibur. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Shloisha, there are three things that ruban kasha, in excess, they're harmful. But in moderation, they are beneficial. Ve'eluhain, these are the three things. Sa'or yeast, umelach, salt, v'sarbanis, and refusal. If one puts a bit of yeast into the dough, that helps the dough, but too much will ruin it. The same regarding salt and food, and refusal regarding a shliach tzibur. Amar Afuna, ta b'shalosh v'shoynos. If one commits an error within the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, we know that Shemoneh Esrei is comprised of three parts. there are the three initial brachas, brachas rishonis, which contain the shvach, the praise of Hashem. And as Tosis explains, since they are dedicated to one theme, they are considered to be one unit. And if any there's a mistake anywhere within those three brachas, one needs to go back to the beginning of the unit. He is chayzer l'roish. Be'emtzayos, if there is an error committed within the middle brachas, the brachas that contain a petitioning to Hashem for our needs, chayzer l'atachonin, needs to go back to the beginning of that set. Since according to Rav Huna, the brachas and tzayos as well are considered to be one singular unit. If there is a tois anywhere in that unit, he needs to go back to atachonin at the beginning of the set. Be'achronis, if there's a mistake, an error committed within the brachas achronis, the final three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, which contain haidah and taking leave of Hashem, so they too are considered to be one unit. If there is a mistake there, chayzal avodah, it goes back to avodah, which is say the beginning of that final unit. Rav Asi amar no, emtzayos ein lo seder. The middle brachas, the brachas that discuss our tzrachim, our needs, they have no sequence, they have no order. Meaning, although the Chachamim establish a specific order for Shemoneh Esrei, however, regarding a tos, if one commits a mistake anywhere in the brachas emtzayos, he may merely go back to that bracha, recite that bracha, and pick up where he left off. For instance, if he's holding already at V'liv Shlaim Ircha, and he remembers that he skipped Baruch Aleinu, so he simply recites Baruch Aleinu right then and there, and resumes the Shlaim Ircha. Masir Rav Sheshes, we have a kasha from our Mishnah. Me'echan u'chayzer, the Mishnah is regarding a Shliach Tzibur who committed a tos, and we replace him with another Shliach Tzibur. Says the Mishnah, where should he go back to? Metchilas ha'bracha shetaze. So he goes back to that bracha where the first one made a mistake. So apparently, even if the mistake, the tos, took place at Rafa'enu, the second Shliach Tzibur doesn't need to go back to Atachoinen. He simply goes back to Rafa'enu and continues davening Al Seder with the following brachas of Shemoneh Esrei according to the sequence established. So this is a kasha on Rav Huna. We see that the brachas emtzayis are not considered to be one unit to the extent that one needs to go back to the beginning of the brachas emtzayis. He merely goes back to that bracha. Now, this is a kasha on Rav Asi as well, because according to Rashi's explanation, the way Rashi presented the opinion of Asi, Rav Asi holds emtzayis ain't lo seder, they have no sequence whatsoever. Even if he's holding at Lirushlaim Ircha, and he realizes that he skipped Baruch Aleinu, he merely recites Baruch Aleinu right then and there and resumes Lirushlaim Ircha. So this Mishnah, which tells us that the second Shliach Tzibur goes back to the bracha where the error occurred, but continues davening from there, ala seder, is a refutation on Rav Asi as well. So indeed, the Mefarshim say that Rashi had a girsa in the Gemara here, that the Gemara did begin with Tzyufta de Rav Asi. This indeed is a refutation on Rav Asi Shita, because the Mishnah says that he begins from that bracha, but he continues ala seder. You can't recite the brachas out of order. The brachas are not so independent of each other that he can merely recite a bracha out of place. He goes back to that bracha where the Torah occurred, but he begins and he continues reciting Al HaSeder according to sequence. So this is a refutation of Rav Asi. But now the Gemara continues, Lema Tiyav Tiyufta Rav Huna. Perhaps, is this a Tiyufta refutation on Rav Huna as well? Because Rav Huna holds that he needs to go back to the beginning of Atachoinen. How can the Mishnah say that he merely goes back to that specific bracha? For instance, if the tos occurred at Baruch Aleinu, he merely goes back to Baruch Aleinu. Says the Gemara, Amalach Rav Huna, no, there is no kasha from the Mishnah. Emtzayis kulo chad brichas aninu. When the Mishnah says that he goes back to the tchilas ha-bracha, what the Mishnah really meant was, he goes back to the beginning of the bracha. Now the emtzayis, the middle bracha, is all considered to be one bracha. According to my opinion, they're all one unit. They're all one bracha. So sure, he goes back to the beginning of the bracha, meaning not to Baruch Aleinu, which he skipped, but the beginning of the brachas emtzayis, the beginning of the unit, which is Ata Chayinim. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rav Yehuda, La'olam, al yishal adam tzrachav, lo'y b'shalash v'shaynais, v'shalash achronis. One should not request his own personal tzrachim, not within the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and not within the last three brachas. Ella, but rather b'mtzayis in the middle brachas. Why? The Omer Rav Chanina, rishaynais, the first three brachas, do'yma le'evet shemesad shvach l'fnei rabbi. They're compared, they contain shvach, praise of Hashem, and is compared to an eved, a servant, who's approaching his king and praising him in order to get close to him. and tzayis, the middle brachis, adoyma le'evet shum vakish pras maravai, are similar to a servant who is requesting his allotment from his king. Here too, in the brachis and tzayis, we request our tzracha, we petition Hashem for our needs. And finally, achroina is the final three brachas, shmon esrei, which contain hayda and taking leave of Hashem, doyma le'evet, are similar to a servant, shekibo pras maravai, who has received his pras, his allotment, v'nifta ba'yuchle, and he takes leave of his king and leaves. So the first three brachas are the shvach, the final three brachas are the haidah, taking leave of Hashem, and only the middle three brachas contain bakashas tzrachim, requesting our needs of Hashem. Tosis points out that although we don't request our personal needs within the first and three last brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, however, Tzrachi Rabim we do. We petition on account of the needs of the Rabim as we insert Zrachayin Olachayim within the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. And Tosis points out that Sim Shalom as well, the other Rishonim to point out that Sim Shalom as well contains the Tzrachi Rabim. We discuss Rachman, Machayim, Mishalim, all the needs of Klal Yisrael. So this Gemara's restriction is merely regarding personal needs. However, Tzarchi Rabim, communal needs, that we do insert within the first three and last brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. Now, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi in the interpretation of Rav Asi's opinion. Tosfos holds that even according to Rav Asi, one may not recite brachas out of order. When Rav Asi says, Emsois Eilim said that, what he meant was as follows. Suppose one makes a toast in the bracha Baruch Aleinu, and now he's holding out Gilui Yishlaim Ircha. So according to Rav Asi, he need not go back to Atachoyin, to the beginning of the brachas Amtsoyis. He can go back to Baruch Aleinu, but he needs to recite Al HaSeder. He needs to daven from there, Al HaSeder, according to the sequence of the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, as established by the Chachamim. According to Tosfos, indeed, there is no kashi from the Mishnah. On Rav Asi, the Mishnah 2 states that the second Shliach Tzibur begins from that bracha, for instance, from Baruch Aleinu, and continues davening from there, Al HaSeder. So there's no kasha from Rav Asi, from the Mishnah on Rav Asi, according to the Pshat of Tosfos. So in conclusion, according to Rav Huna, if one makes a bracha, and the bracha is Emtsoyis, he needs to go back to the beginning of Atachoinin. According to Rav Asi, he need not do so. There's two ways to understand Rav Asi. According to Rashi, Rav Asi holds that he can merely insert any bracha that he chooses where he's holding. According to Tosfos, he must daven al HaSeder beginning from that bracha, but continue from there on according to the sequence established by the Chachamim. However, in the first brachas and last brachas, everybody agrees that if there's any tos that occurs there, he must go back to the beginning of that set. And as the Gemara explains, the first set is presentation of shvach, of praise to Hashem. It's considered to be one theme, one unit. The final three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei are acknowledging and taking leave of Hashem, and they too are considered to be one unit. If there's any toes there, any mistake, he needs to go back to the beginning of that unit. Continues the Gemara Tanur Rabban, we learned in the Brisa. Maise betalam d'echad shiorot ne'ateva. There was a student that was a shliach tzibur b'fnei Rabbi Elazar, in the presence of Rabbi Elazar. V'yemarach yesi medai, he prolonged his tefillah very much. He inserted personal tefillahs, personal text into his tefillah. Omer le talmidav, the students of Rabbi Elazar turned to him, to Rabbi Elazar, and he said, Rabbeinu, our teacher, kama arkanu zeh, what a prolonger. Omer lehem, so he told them, klum marach yosei Moshe Rabbeinu, is he davening longer than Moshe Rabbeinu? The chsibbei that is said regarding Moshe Rabbeinu when he pleaded to Hashem on account of Klal Yisrael by the chet ha'egel. Esar boim hayoim, esar boim ha'layla, for 40 days and 40 nights I petitioned Hashem. So, is he petitioning more than that? It's okay. Shuv Maase b'Talmudecha, there was another incident regarding a student. Shior d'fnei Ateva d'fnei Rabbi Elazar. He was a shliach tzibur in the presence of Rabbi Elazar. V'yemekatzim yosei medayi. And he davened very short. He did not insert much personal supplications. Omer l'talmidav, in this case, his talmidim turned to him and they said, kama katzim yosei, what an abbreviator. Omer lehem, so he told him, klum katzim yosei Moshe Rabbeinu. Is he davening shorter than Moshe Rabbeinu? Where we find the chsiv, kel na refon Allah. Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded to Hashem to heal Miriam from her tzaras. It was a very short and concise tefillah. Is he davening shorter than that? That too is okay. The Mashal explains that the difference between the two tefillahs of Moshe as follows. First tefillah was regarding the benefit of Klal Yisrael. It was a communal prayer. It was regarding the Masa Egel, therefore required an Arichas, a prolonged tefillah. The second tefillah was merely regarding an individual, Miriam, and therefore was recited in a very short form. Amar Yaakov Ram Chizda, Kolam Avakish Rachem Chaveri, one who pleads mercy on behalf of his friend who is present in front of him, Ein Tzarach L'Haskishma, he need not mention his name. Hashem sees, Hashem knows who he's asking for. Shnema Kelno Refan Allah. V'Lekamat Kishma De Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't mention Miriam's name. Tan Rabban, Elu Brachos She'Adam Sheicha Behen, these are the brachas that one is meant to bow by them. Ba'avais, this is the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Berachas Ha'avais. One is meant to be sheikh to bow, tchila, in the beginning of the bracha, v'saif, and the conclusion of the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei. Be'hoida, also regarding Berachas Ma'idim, tchila v'saif, in the beginning and at the end of the bracha. So this is required. However, v'imba, l'ashuach, v'saif, bracha, v'bracha, one wants to bow at the end of every bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Ubetchilas kol bracha bracha, the beginning of every bracha. Malam de noisa, we tell him, we teach him shalei yischai, shouldn't do so. Why? Explains Taisus. Since by doing so, he indicates that there's no takanas hachamim. Everybody may do as he sees fit. Also, it looks mechsik yura, looks like he's being haughty. He's doing things in a better way than everybody else. So one is not meant to do so. Merely restrict your bowing to avos and to haidah. Omar Shimon Pazi, Omar Shimon Levi, Shimon Kapor. Hediot, for an ordinary person, K'may Shamaru, he follows this dictate, he bows at the beginning of the end of Avais and Haidah. Explains the Maral, what is unique about Avais and Haidah? Avais is the foundation of our relationship with Hashem, Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov. Haidah, that is our personal relationship with Hashem. We acknowledge, we thank Hashem for everything. Those two brachas are very unique and significant, and therefore they require bowing at their beginnings and ends. So this is for a hediyot, ordinary person. However, says the Gemara, Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol who assumes a much greater position, his position is more exalted. He requires more. He needs to show more humility. He needs to bow b'seif kol bracha bracha, the end of every bracha. V'hamelech, a king who is even on a higher level, Tchilas kol bracha, u'bracha b'seif kol bracha bracha. He needs to bow at the beginning and the end of every single bracha. So the higher you are, you need to show more humility to Hashem. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak bar Achmeni, I have a different version. L'dedim mefarshim edim Shmuel Levi. To me, it was explained the name of Shmuel Levi as follows: Hediyot k'may sha'amarnu, an ordinary person, he does as dictated earlier. He bows at the beginning, the end of Avos and Haidah. Kohen Gadol, however, Tchilas, and the Vilna Gaon adds, V'soif, kol bracha bracha, beginning at the end of every single bracha. Ha-melech, a king, he needs to do something grand. Kima Shekara, once he bows, once, at the beginning of his tefillah, Shuvah Nizokev, he doesn't get up again until he completes, concludes his tefillah. Shnemar, as we find regarding Shlomi HaMelech, Vayikah Chalei Shlomi, this following, conclude his tefillah, Kamlef Mizbeach Hashem, only then did he rise from the Mizbeach, Mechrei Al-Birchav, he rise in front of the Mizbeach, from kneeling on his feet. So we see that a melech is meant to be in a lying position, in a crouched position, a bowing position, the entire tefillah. So in conclusion, a hediyot, an ordinary person, when does he bow? He bows at the beginning and at the end of Birchas Avos and Birchas Haidah. Regarding a Kohen Gadol and a melech, we have two versions in the Gemara. According to the first version, a Kohen Gadol will bow b'soif kol bracha bracha, and a melech will bow b'tchila u'b'soif kol bracha bracha. According to the second opinion in the Gemara, a Kohen Gadol will bow at the beginning and at the end of every single bracha. And a melech, once he bows at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, he stays, remains in that position with humility until he completes his tefillah. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Kida, what is the definition of the word kida? Alapayim, it's referring to one lying on one's face. Shenemar v'atikoid b'asheva apayim oret, she lied on her face down on the ground. Kriya, what is the definition of the word kriya? Abakayim, one kneeling on his knees. Shenemar mekriya al-birkav, on his knees. Heshtachavoy, what does that mean? So pishut yodayin raglayim, that's referring to one lying in a position of his hands and his feet entirely stretched out. Shenemar, as it says, havoy novoy ani v'imcha v'achecha, this is Yaakov Avinu telling Yosef, is that so that me and your mother and your brothers will come l'shtachas l'ha'artza to bow to be m'shtachva to you flat on the ground with our hands and feet stretched out. Omer Rav Chiya b'Rei d'Rafuna chazinu l'abayim v'rava. I noticed that abayim v'rava, the matzlasli, when they would fall on their face, they would noifal apayim, they would be matzlasli, they would lean a bit, they would tilt themselves a bit to the side, they wouldn't lie directly face down. Now, the Mefarshim explain, based on the Gemara elsewhere, that a prominent person is not meant to be noifal apa of lie on his face and daven, unless he is certain, he is confident that his tefillah will be accepted and he will be responded to. And the reason for this is because lying on one face is a very desperate position. And therefore, if he doesn't receive a response, this may elicit ridicule amongst the public, amongst the population. They will consider him to be not so chashev, not so prominent, on the account that he wasn't responded to, his tefillah wasn't accepted. Therefore, he is not meant to be noifal al apav. Therefore, Abai v'Rava, they were anashim chashuvim, prominent people. Therefore, they made sure not to be noifal alpeim, but rather they tilted themselves a bit to the side. They were matzle atzlui. Continue the Gemara. Tanur chad. We have one brayse that says as follows: Hakare b'hida. If one bows by hida, harizah meshubach, is praiseworthy. We have another brayse of Tanidach, another brayse which says the opposite: harizah meguna, is blameworthy. It's not something which one is meant to do. Says more like kash is not difficult. It depends where in Haida. The beginning of Haida, yes, that is a place where one is meant to bow. However, at the end of Haida, that is Meguna. Now the question is, how is this consistent with the previous Gemara, which told us that during Haida, one is meant to bow at the beginning and at the end? The Farshim say, this is speaking about Moedim D'Rabbanan. When the public, the Tzibor, responds to Shliach Tzibor, they say Moedim Anachloch, they respond with Moedim D'Rabbanan. This is the discussion here, and the conclusion is that at the beginning of Moedim we bow, but not at the end of Moedim Rabbanan. Says the Rava, however, Kara b'Hida Tchil b'Soif, he bowed at the beginning and at the end. Amar the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan challenged him and he said, Amai kavod mar hachi, why do you conduct yourself in this manner? Amar Lusi says, it is because Chazinu l'Rav Nachman dekara, I witnessed the Rav Nachman would bow at the beginning and at the end. And Rav Sheshet as well conduct himself in this manner. Therefore, I too adopted this practice. Says the Gemara, how can we say that bowing during Hadar is praiseworthy? V'atanya, haven't we learned the price? Hakarei b'Hadar, one who bows by Hadar, is a meguna. It is disgraceful. Says the Gemara, that is a different Hadar. Hai b'Hadar sheba halel. That is referring to the words of thanksgiving to Hashem within halel Hadar Hashem kitoiv. So over there, one is not meant to bow. But Haidah during Tefillah, yes. Says the Gemara about Tanya, we learned Hakarei b'Haidah, one who bows by Haidah, b'Haidah shel Hala, b'Haidah, which sounds like Haidah during Tefillah, and b'Haidah shel Hala, Hariza Meguna, that is Meguna. So you see in both cases, in Haidah shel Hala as well as Haidah of Tefillah, one is not meant to bow. Says the Gemara, Kitanya hi, that Brisa is referring to b'Haidah d'Brichas HaMazai. When the Brisa says that one is not meant to bow b'Haidah, that is referring to Haidah of Brichas HaMazah in the second bracha, Noidelecha. There, bowing is not in place. There and during Haidah Shel Hal. However, regarding Haidah of Tefillah, there indeed, bowing is in place. So in conclusion, regarding Haidah, bowing by Haidah, Haidah of Tefillah requires bowing. Haidah of Moedim D'Rabbanan, that we have a discussion in the Gemara. According to the Gemara's conclusion, we're meant to bow in the beginning and not at the end. Rava, however, bowed b'tchil b'soif, and our practice today is to bow at the beginning of Moedim Malach Loch and to get up to rise when we get to the point of Sha'atu Hashem. However, regarding Haidah, Sheba Halal, and Brichas HaMazon, no bowing is in place. Continues the Mishnah. Hamis Bal Vita, one who davens and he makes a mistake in the middle of his tefillah, Simon Rala, it's a bad sign for him. The Gemara will explain exactly where in his tefillah this is referring to. If he was sent up by the tzibur, he's a chazan, and he makes a mistake, simen ra'al l'sholchav, this is a bad omen for the ones who sent him. Mipnei, because shashlucha shalad m'kemoisai, one's agent, if one sends somebody to do something, to perform something on his behalf, it is k'moisai. His actions, the actions of the shliach, is attributed to the mishalech, to the one who sent him. Therefore, when there is a tos during the tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur, that is a siman ra to the ones, to the tzibur, to the congregation who has appointed him. Continues the Mishnah, Amar Alav of Chanina Daisa. The following thing was related regarding Chanina Daisa. Shem espal achayim when he davened on behalf of ill people. Va'omer, he would say, Zeh chayim, zeh meis, this one will survive, this one won't. Amar Loi, so they asked him, Menainati Yadei, how do you know to differentiate between these people? Amar Lam, so he told them as follows, I have a very strong indication. Im shgura tefillah sebefi, if the words of my tefillah are fluent in my mouth, they flow freely from my heart, from my mouth, then I know Yedeani Shemakuba, I know that tefillah, the prayer was accepted, and the chayla will survive, will recover. Vimla, but if not, I have difficulty davening for him, Yedeani Shematuraf, then I know that tefillah, his maturaf was rejected, was not accepted in heaven. Continues the Gemara, Ahai. The Mishnah says that if a tos, an error takes place within tefillah, it is a siman ra. Where exactly, and which part of tefillah are we referring to? Ahai, Omar Chia, Omar Safra, Mishum Chad Be'rav, Be'avais, referring to the initial bracha, brichas avais, which is the foundation of the Shemoneh Esrei. There, the Mishnah is referring to when it says that if a mistake takes place, it is siman ra. Ika, the Masna Braisa, some referred this statement of Rav Chia to a different halacha altogether, a halacha contained in the Braisa, which says as follows. Hamispal, one who davens from Esrei, Tzor Sheichav, Neslibe B'chulon, he must have proper concentration through the entire Shemoneh Esrei, all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. V'me'enu yuchal l'chav b'chulon, he does not have the ability to be mechaven in the entire Shemoneh Esrei, all the brachas, at least yuchav neslibe b'achas, he should have kavana at least in one of the brachas. Which one of the brachas? Of Rav Chia, Rav Safra, Rav Chad, Rav Be'avais, referring to the first bracha, bracha Be'avais, which is the most crucial part of Shemoneh Esrei. There, kavana is ma'akev, is so crucial that if one doesn't have kavana there, his tefillah is invalid, needs to daven again. But in halacha it's brought down, nowadays we don't do so. Even if one neglects to have kavana during avais, he doesn't daven again because we are not really sure that he'll have kavana the second time around. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanina Daisa. Minanamili, how did he know to base his prediction on this siman, on this indication of his tefillah being fluent or not? Amar Shuba Levi, Damakra, Bayer Nifsa Saim, Sholem Sholem, Ruch Lakar, Vamashem Rafosif. Hashem is Bayer Nifsa Saim, Hashem creates the utterance of the lips, and we darshan Bari Nifsosayim, when the utterance of the lips are healthy, are clearly articulated, then we know Shalom, Shalom, L'Rach L'Karav, there's peace onto the Rach, the one who's far, the one who's close. Omar Hashem, or Fasav, Hashem says, I have healed him. I will heal him. So we know that the manner in which the tefillah flows is indicative of the success of the tefillah. Omar B'chiba Abba, Omar B'yechna. Kol HaNaviim Kulam, all the prophecies that are included in the Nevi'im when they describe the utopia, the description of the days to come, that is only a description. That is the reward which will be coming one who marries his daughter to Talmud Chacham. He connects to Talmud Chacham in that manner. Or he does business on behalf of a Talmud Chacham. He takes the capital of a Talmud Chacham. He invests it, he does business with it, and he gives him the profits which allow the Talmud Chacham to learn with peace of mind. Ulamahana Talmud Chacham ben Chasav, to one who benefits a Talmud Chacham from his assets, from his money. So one who aids, who connects to Talmud Chacham, he is deserving of those rewards that are described by the Nevi'im. Avot Talmud Chacham Atzman, however, regarding Talmud Chacham themselves, who are immersed in Torah study, their reward is much greater. Ayin le'ras alakim zalasecha. No eye has seen it, can describe it, except for Hashem. Yaslam chakav lo, he'll do to ones who await him. V'aruchim rabam v'yechna, kol ha'nevi'im kulam le'nisnabu. The prophecies included in the Nevi'is of the Nevi'im le'nisnabu, they only describe elu l'mais ha'mashiach, the days of Mashiach. Aval olam haba, but the world to come, that will assume a much higher nature, will be beyond the laws of current nature. Ayin lo yiras al kimzal secha, that cannot be described in our terms. No eye has seen it except for Hashem. As the Rambam explains somewhere regarding the Schar of Gan Eden, it is similar to trying to describe sight to a blind man, or music to one who's deaf. It's beyond this comprehension. We're talking about things that are indescribable to us in our limited comprehension. Says the Gemara, this is a dispute to Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the situation of Lasid Lavei, of Yimais HaMashiach, is described in the words of the Nevi'im, which tell us that the world will assume a new order that is in dispute to Shmuel. The only difference between nowadays and the days of Mashiach is only one thing, El Shibud Malchus Blavad, is our freeing from the reign of the nations, of the kingdoms. But otherwise, the world conducts itself in its normal manner, as we have today. Shenemar, as it says, Kol Yechdal Evim Kever Eretz, the pauper will not be removed from the land. There will still be poor people, impoverished people. So we see that no major changes will take place in the Yimais HaMashiach. So this is in dispute. Rabbi Yochanan tells us that the prophecies described by the Nevi'im regarding utopia, regarding this grand situation of Asad Lavai, that is referring to Yimais HaMashiach. However, during Olam Haba, a much greater reward is awaiting us, something which you cannot even describe. However, during Yimais HaMashiach, the world will assume a new order. So that is in direct contradiction to Shmuel, who tells us that no, Yimais HaMashiach will still have or contain the present order of things. The present norms will be there. Says the Gemara, further, whatever we find in the words of the Nevi'im, the rewards, it's only regarding one who repented, one who has sinned and returned and became Baal Tshuva. A righteous person who has never sinned, he receives a much greater reward. No eye has seen, no eye can describe except for Hashem. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that a tzaddik stands higher than a Baal Tshuva. This is in direct dispute to the opinion of Ravo, who maintains the opposite. The stature of a Baal Tshuva is greater than a tzaddik. The place that a Baal Tshuva is oimed, tzaddikim gmurim, complete and righteous tzaddikim, they can't stand there. They don't reach that high level. Shenemar, shalom, shalom, l'rochel l'korv. I offer peace, shalom, shalom, first l'rochek, to one who was distant from me, who sinned, who was involved in Avera, and came back. And only afterwards do I offer my peace l'korv, to one who was near all along. So first I offer peace to the rochek, to the Baal Tshuva who repented, who was rochek. He stands higher. He stands closer to Hashem than one who had never left, one who was karev all along. L'rochek v'reisha, first I offer my peace to the rochek, to the Baal Tshuva, v'ad l'karev, and only then to the tzaddik. So this is the shita of Ravo. Rav Yochanan Amar Lach, however, Rav Yochanan holds that the reverse is true, that a tzaddik, he gets a much greater reward than a Baal Tshuva. He holds that we interpret the pasuk a bit different. My rochek shei rochek midvar aver mikar. When the pasuk says, I offer my sholim first to the rochek and then to the karev, the rochek is referring to a tzaddik who was always distanced from avera. He never engaged in avera. He was rochek midvar aver mikar. From the beginning, he was far from the avera. And then when the pasuk concludes, the rochek v'la karev, the karev is referring to a baal tshuva, my karev shei karev var aver b'nisachim menu hashta. It's referring to a person who was close to an avera, but now he has distanced himself from an avera and he repents. So the machlekes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, who's greater, who stands greater? A tzaddik or Baal Tshuva. According to Rav Yochanan, a tzaddik stands higher. And regarding the reward to a tzaddik, the reward that will be coming to a tzaddik, that is something which is not described in the words of the Nevi'im. That's something beyond our comprehension. However, according to Rav, the reverse is true. A Baal Tshuva stands spiritually higher than a tzaddik. Explain the Mefarshim a number of reasons. Either it's because the Baal Tshuva has already engaged, has become accustomed to sinning, and therefore it's much more difficult for him to extract himself from that situation. And when he puts in the effort to follow the word of Hashem, he has accomplished a great accomplishment, even greater in a way than a tzaddik. There's another explanation which says that a Baal Tshuva, since he had been far from Hashem, he hadn't experienced Hashem's closeness, so his thirst now is much greater than the thirst of a tzaddik. Therefore, he stands greater, he stands higher than a tzaddik. There's another explanation that tshuva achieves that if one does the proper madrega of tshuva, he repents me out of love to Hashem, his avarice, his sins become turned over into mitzvahs. They nefchel eschuyz, they turn into mitzvahs. Therefore, all his avarice, all his past experiences have now been transformed into mitzvahs. So you can even be greater. He stands even higher than a tzaddik. There's another pshat that about tshuva has an additional mitzvah that a tzaddik doesn't have. He has the mitzvah of tshuva, therefore he stands higher. Continues the Gemara. My ayin l'rasa. What does it mean that the eye has not seen, has not witnessed? Rav Yishuv ben Levi. This is referring to the reward of yayin ha-meshumer ba'anomav, the wine that was contained, that was safeguarded in its grapes, mishesh mebereshis, from the beginning of creation, referring to the secrets of Torah, the seis ha-Torah, that will be revealed to us. La'asid lovi. Rav Shmuel ben Nachman Yomar, ze Eden. What does it mean that the eye had not seen? It's referring to a place called Eden, shlo yisholta ba'ayin kol beria. No creation was able to see it. No bria. Nobody ever saw Eden. Shema Toimar, perhaps you'll argue and say, Adam Arishain. Hey Chanoia, where was Adam Arishain? Was he not in Eden? No, he was Began. He was in a place called Gan. Veshema Toimar, Gan or Eden, those are two of the same places? No, Talmud Leimar. Venar Yetzim Eden, a river comes out of Eden, Lahashkis Agan, to water Gan. Gan Lachud, Eden Lachud. Apparently, the two separate places, Adam Arishain was in Eden. Adam Arishain was in Gan. But Eden, nobody has yet to experience, and that will be revealed to us, La'asid Lavai, as part of our reward. Says the Gemara, Tanar Abanon, Ma'aseh Shechol Abnei Shor Rabbi Gamliel. The son of Rabbi Gamliel fell ill. Shigo Shnei Tamid HaChamim to Rechanim Adoysa. So he sent a group, he sent two Tamid HaChamim to Rechanim Adoysa. Levach Yishol Rachmim. He had the ability, he had the capacity to be effective in his prayers. Rabbi Gamliel asked, petitioned Rechanim Adoysa to daven for his son. Kima Shiraisam, as soon as Rechanina noticed the Tamid HaChamim approaching, Olal Aliyah, he figured out why they were coming, and he went up to the Aliyah to the second floor, Bikir Yishol Rachmim, and he davened for him. Biridasai, when he came down, he said, Amar Lehem, Lechu, you can go, you can leave. Shechal Tzaisei Chama, his fever has left him. Amar Lehem, told him, Chinavi Ata, are you a prophet? Amar Lehem, Lo Navi Anachi, I'm neither a prophet, Lo Navi Anachi, nor a son of a Navi. Elokach Mekablani, this is my Kabbalah, this is what I have received from my Rebbeim. If the words flow from my mouth, then I know that the tefillah was accepted and I was successful. But if not, that the tefillah was rejected. So now that my tefillah was fluent, I know it was successful, and he indeed has recovered. So the two Talmid Chacham sat and they recorded that exact moment that he told them this. When they returned to Ranglil, and they related to him their whole exchange and the exact time that he told them that his son has recovered. Amalem, so he told them, Ha'avoyda, exclaimed that the name of, he promised the name of Avoyda, the service of Hashem, Lo'chisartem, you haven't detracted, Lo'chisartem, you haven't added, meaning you were exactly on target. It was exactly at that moment, Al-Kacha Yemais, this was a story, but he says, Shot, exactly that moment, Chatzasei Chama, the fever has left him, he had recovered, V'shalom Ramayim Lishtais, and he asked to drink some water. V'shuv Ma'asim Rechanim Adoysa, it was another story regarding Rechanim Adoysa. Shalach l'ulma Torah, it's Rabbi Yechman Zakai. He went to learn by Rabbi Yechman Zakai. V'chol abnoish from Rabbi Yechman Zakai. And his son has fell ill. Omar loy. So Rabbi Yechman asked him, Chanina b'ni, my son Chanina, bakish of racham, please request mercy v'yichi and he should survive. Hiniach reishav ben birkav. So Rabbi Chanina put his head between his knees. U'bikish of rachmim, and he requested, he beseeched for mercy. V'choya, and he recovered. Omar Rabbi Yechman Zakai. Ilmolei hitiach ben Zakai. If me, Ben Zakai, if I would have put my head as Reshu and Mirkov, Kolayim Kuloi, the entire day, and attempted to daven for my son's recovery, Loi Mashkichanov, they wouldn't have paid heed to me, they wouldn't have paid attention to me. And Rav Chanina has the ability to achieve results. Omar Le Ishtes, his wife told him, Chanina, is that so that Chanina is greater than you? His tefillah is more effective? Omar La Love, he's not greater than me necessarily. But Elohu Doimel Kerefni Amelach, he is similar to a servant who comes in and out freely to the king, and he has an intimate relation with the king. Intimate shaykhs with the king. Vani doimik esarv ne'amelech, but I am like an officer in front of the king. I have the appointed times that I come and speak to him. My relationship is not so intimate. The Mefarshim explained, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai's position in Klal Yisrael was a leader, a teacher, an abezdin. He was preoccupied more primarily with Torah, teaching Torah. Rabbi Chanan Daisa's role, so to speak, was focused a lot on tefillah, on petitioning on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He was like a servant in front of his king. He would come in and out freely, and his tefillah had more effect and achieved results. Should only daven in a house that has windows. Daniel davened in a house which had windows open towards Yerushalayim. Rashi explains, a person peers through the windows, sees the sky, and that creates reverence and humility. Liboy nichna is conducive to good kavana during tefillah. Or Rav Kahana, chotzef malai, is arrogant to me, manda masli biksa, one who davens out in the valley, in an open area, that brings a person to arrogance, and doesn't have the proper frame of mind to daven with humility. Rav Kahana, chotzef malai, it is arrogant to me, manda farish chatoi, one who specifies in public his sins, he's not embarrassed, he publicizes, shenema ashrei nesui pesha, fortunate is the one whose sins are atoned from, ksri chatoi, he hides, he's embarrassed of his avarice, doesn't advertise them, publicize them in public. And Rashi says, by hiding one's chet, he appears to be embarrassed, to be shamed and embarrassed as a result of his chatoim. And this is a skula, this is something which leads, which brings atonement and kapara from Shamayim on one's averis. Hadron lach, ein oimdin.